Certainly appreciate the opportunity once again to be here and to be with you and stand before you, and certainly we're in need of the Lord's help and mercy. Words of the song, not this past one, but the one right before that, caught my mind. I'd like to just read the song. We've sung it, but just listen to the poetry of it, if you would. 586. Thought about this with the storms that had come through, literally. In the dark of the midnight, I have oft hid my face, while the storms howls above me, and there's no hiding place. Mid the crash of the thunder, precious Lord, hear my cry. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Many times Satan whispered, there's no need to try, for there's no end of sorrow, there's no hope by and by. But I know thou art with me, and tomorrow I'll rise where the storms never darken the skies. When the long night has ended and the storms come no more, let me stand in thy presence on that bright, peaceful shore. In that land where the tempest never comes, Lord, may I dwell with thee when the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. We have a balance in our life that we must maintain. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. Oftentimes, we might be tempted to just kind of hide away, to just kind of withdraw and not be a part of communities or neighborhoods or state or nation. We're to do the opposite of that. We're to let our light so shine, is what we're to do. But oftentimes, we all are subject to conditions of life where the words of the song seem to strike a chord within us. But at those times, it would be good and profitable and God-honoring if we would rise above our particular condition at that particular time and realize we have something that is often referred to as a position in Christ. The position in Christ doesn't move by the conditions of life. It is set. It is steadfast. There's nothing that we have done to get into the position in where we stand in Christ. And there's nothing we can do to remove ourselves from that position in Christ. Now, there's a hard word to understand that will allow us to give us a hint when Scripture is talking about our position. You ready for that hard word? It's in, I-N. When the Bible talks about being in something, oftentimes it is talking about our position where we are. Now, I find that there's more peace in life when our condition gets really close to our position. And I know of no better place for that to happen than in God's house, where oftentimes God allows us to rise above the conditions that are common to man. Satan likes you to feel that you're the only one, that you're just the only one that is in that particular condition of life. But that's not true. We suffer things that are common to man. Whether they be health, sickness, whether it be prosperity or poverty, whether it be sunshine or shadows, and as the song says, in the midst of the storm of life, whatever that might be, Satan likes for you to believe you're all by yourself. But you are never by yourself. We have tried in a weak way, but we have tried to introduce the subject, and I say that because it's an inexhaustible subject. And that is that we worship a God of distinction. And I guess one of the first things that are shown, the distinction in which we have, is what I'd like to touch on for a few minutes this morning. Now, we've already talked about how there is a situation of life that naturally we are all born into, and there is no distinction. And that is being guilty sinners, born that way naturally. And there's a part of that that we don't lose as long as we live in this life. The Apostle Paul says in the 7th chapter of Romans, he says, "For I know," and then he qualifies that is in my flesh, "dwelleth no good thing." It's almost comical to read people that have high degrees and write all of these commentaries to explain that away out of the 7th chapter of Romans. They go all the way from saying Paul was just having a bad day, to saying he was confused, to saying, well, he was talking about before. He's talking about right then and right there. And that's a condition we find ourselves in. Let me read a portion of the second chapter of Ephesians, and perhaps not the part that you're thinking I would read. Let me just read the second and third verses of that second chapter of Ephesians. Well, I'll go ahead and read the first just to set it. But, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sin, wherein," this is what I want, "wherein times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." That's just fact. You don't have to accept it. You don't have to reject it. It's just fact. That's the way it is. We're a product of mom and dad. Guess what? Mom and dad were sinners. Guess what? Their mom and dad were sinners. All the way back to Adam and Eve that didn't begin that way. But they got that way pretty quick. And we, in Adam, we all die. And there we would remain if it were not for the fact of the very next verse and so forth, but God. But God. In spite of what we are by nature, but God. The first distinction that God makes in our life was happened before time. Do you know something was given you before the foundation of the world? Now, you weren't there to receive it. It's before the foundation of the world. But something was given you. And by this scripture and others, but this scripture that I'm going to read, there is a union that's been established between God and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Right now I want to look at the Son and the S-O-N and his people. Listen to what it says in 1st chapter of Timothy, 2nd Timothy, 2 Timothy 1 and 9. "Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." That simply means to me, my friend, that we weren't there to receive it, but it was given us. And who it was given us is in Christ Jesus. There's a union formed. We didn't form it. We're passive in that. But God established a union by placing us in, positionally, in Christ Jesus. And by being in Christ Jesus, the rest of this text over in Ephesians jumps off the page. Listen to it. I turned from it. Let me go back to it. But God, who is, this is 2 Ephesians 2 and 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherein he loved us. Well, when did that start? When did that great love start? Before the foundation of the world. You know, we can talk about that, but I don't know how much I really understand about it. It's hard for me to talk about things that happen before time. Because as soon as I start talking about them, I'll say something like this. Well, first implies time. This is before time. Now, we have what the Bible says about it, and that's where we need to leave our thoughts, is what the Bible says about it. Because it's a concept that we really don't have any experience in, and that's a concept of no time. But before time was, God set his love. He chose you, Ephesians 1 says. He elected you, Ephesians 9 says. Before time was, based upon what? Well, Bible tells us what it's not based upon. It's not based upon any good nor evil. That's a pretty wide swat, my friends. Not based upon any, you know, how would the world suggest it? Well, that God looked down and saw what you would do. And then based upon what you would do, he chose you or rejected you. Well, that's right out of the Bible because it's nowhere in it. It's nowhere in it. God did look down, but he didn't see what they said he saw. What God says he saw is there was none that doeth good, no, not one. So what caused God to love his people? Well, it wasn't anything in us. So it had to be what was in God. And what was in God, my friends, that directed him or led him, or however we should say that, is his purpose. God loved those that he purposed to love. And set a distinction, my friends, between those that he loved and those that he did not. And that distinction is our position. And that union that we have with Christ, so that the rest of this Ephesians that I want to read, I'm going to get to it, says. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, and here's the word, together. See the union? Has quickened us together with Christ, by grace you are saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. See the union? When it happened to Christ, he represented us, we were in him, and legally, my friends, it happened to us. Now, oftentimes, this last text, raised us up, made us set in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, oftentimes people will allude to that text when they're talking about something that happens here in time when we have a wonderful service and we feel the Lord, and that's not what it's talking about. He's not talking about your condition. He's talking about your position. And your position, my friend, is regardless of your condition. Your position is, since Christ was quickened, you were quickened legally. Since Christ was raised, you were raised legally. And when Christ took his seat on the right hand of the Father as a completed work, you took that seat with him positionally in Christ Jesus, regardless of your situation of life. That's God. The value of that, my friends, the value of knowing that, can speak peace to your soul in the midst of tribulation and sorrow. It can cause you, even as the writer of the song, it is well with my soul. You read the history of that. That's after the man had lost his family and all that he had and so forth. But he could look and say, it is well with my soul. Why? Because God stands and I stand in him. Now here in time, that was done legally upon the cross is applied vitally in you. What do you mean, brother son? Well, Titus tells us there's a washing in regeneration. We use that word regeneration like everybody's supposed to know what that means. Generation is natural life. Regeneration is spiritual life. There's a re to it, you understand. Generation is natural, if we can say it this way. Generation is natural birth. Regeneration is spiritual birth. And you have about as much to do with one as you do the other. Any of you choose who your mama and daddy was? Any of you choose, I mean, of all names, Huckabee. That's hard to say. It's hard to spell. And no, I'm not any relation to Mike Huckabee, and I get asked that all the time, and it's fine. I don't mind it. I lived in Arkansas when he was governor of Arkansas, and I finally just started answering to Mike. I mean, that's what people called me. Do you know what? The occasional times when my wife and I would actually have an anniversary and we go out to some fancy place to go eat or whatever, never had to have a reservation for McDonald's, by the way, Sister Karen, never had. But, of course, they asked your name, right? And my real name is Bill. I say, Bill Huckabee. Yes, sir, Mr. Huckabee, we'll have that. And I never told them any difference. They didn't ask, and I never told them. I could go on, but that's enough of that story. I didn't choose who my parents were. I didn't. There's one reason only, that I love mom and dad. Dad passed on, and mom's 90 years old next week and not doing well in a nursing home. She still remembers us, but that's about it. One reason. How many of you can think what that is? It's not complicated. One reason. Because they first loved me. I told some last night. Sharon and I were kids having kids. We got married when she was 17 and I was 20. And our first child was born when she was 22, I think, or 20, whatever. And we're in Oxford, Mississippi, and kids, just kids. And there she was. When did my love begin? Her name's Amy. When did my love begin with Amy? You know, I had Amy on my shoulder, bouncing her in a mirror that was facing this way, and I had her on my shoulder, and bouncing her. And she finally called me something. Dada. Oh, I've never been called that before. Did that make me that child's daddy? Did it? The fact that she called me Dada, did that make me her daddy? No. She's just figuring out something that had already been true for quite a while. She just figured it out. Now, did it make my heart sore when she called me daddy? Oh, it did. But it didn't make me her daddy. Was that when my love started, when she called my position my daddy? No. No. How about when I first saw her? By the way, I know I'll get in trouble for this, but I've never seen a pretty baby. They're all wrinkly, and I just never seen one. If you ever seen one when they're really born, you sure will say you've never seen a pretty one. But was it when I placed my eyes on her? No. When was it? When did my love get? Can I point to a time? I can. Can you? Can you point to the time when your love that you didn't even know you had the capability of sprung up in you? Can you recall that? When is it? As soon as you had knowledge that baby was there. That quick. My friends, God had knowledge of you before the foundation of the world. In fact, not only did he have knowledge of you, he foreknew you. He loved you with an intimate love, my friends, before the foundation of the world. And that love has and never will depart. Never, ever. Hold on to that. Here's your position. We are in Christ Jesus. What happens when we disobey God? Listen to what 89th Psalms has to say it. And Brother Philip, we're going to be closing here. 89th Psalm says this. It's 30th verse. If his children, who's he speaking about? God's children. If his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgment, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgressions with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. Now listen carefully to this. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from, what's the next word? Why not them? He's talking about his children. It would make grammatical sense, would it not? If he says, if my children do this and this and this, then I'll visit there, it's plural, I do all of that, but I will, what? I will not utterly take from him. Who's the him? It's Jesus, my friends. Nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. Why? My covenant will I not break, nor alter the things that is gone out of my lips. Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. That's true about David the king on earth, but that is even more true about the higher David. Christ Jesus. There's a covenant. There's a covenant of grace. You ask people, do they believe in grace? And people, we'll believe in grace. And what's the next word? But. What do we as old Baptists believe? We believe in grace with no buts. But then you ask if they believe in the covenant of grace. They'll go, what? What's that? Oh, my friends, let me tell you. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. What does that mean? Repentance on our part? No, no, no. Repentance on God's part. God will not turn from the promises of God are not yea and nay, but yea and what? Amen. Amen. Look at your position that you have in Christ Jesus. It's sure. It's steadfast. We're in him, never to be removed. Ever. We'd have to, somebody'd have to get us out of Christ's hands that's in God's hands. And I'm persuaded there is not a power present that can do that. We are safe. We are secure. Our destiny is to be with God in heaven when time is no more. Here's what predestination has to say. Everyone that's supposed to be there will be there without a loss of one. How can you improve on that? What's wrong with that? Our destiny is to be conformed to this image of His Son. Our destiny is to be adopted into the family of God. You know, I think that's probably the, maybe next to love, the broadest subject there is in the Bible is adoption. It began before the world was. Here in time, we receive the spirit of adoption. But adoption will not be complete until the resurrection of these bodies. It began before time, it's active in time, and it won't be finalized till end time. That's pretty broad. And the ultimate output of all of that is we've been brought out of the family of sin and death and been adopted into the family of our Lord. Now, it's not humanity. There's a distinction. It's those whom He loved. Based upon what? Based upon His purpose to love them. For whom He did foreknow, them He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that we might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, them He predestinated, them He also called. That's regeneration. And whom He called, them He also justified. Where? On the cross. And them He justified, them He also glorified. When? In the resurrection. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He says, for I'm persuaded that neither, and then He begins to list things, shall be able to separate us from the love of God. Do you remember the first thing that's listed there? Death. Then what? Life. That's not how we speak. We normally say life and death, right? But He said death and life. You know why? There's a whole lot of God's people that mistakenly believe that if a person takes their own life, then they're going to an eternal woe and misery. The very first thing that says can't separate us is death. Can't. Well, if death can't separate us, certainly life can't separate us. The fact is, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. That's your position. Final point. Peace in life is found when our condition of life gets closer and closer to our position in life. May God bless you as our prayer for this day.